This Christmas, or this birthday, I should say, I made my Christmas list, put all the stuff I want there. I'd send it to all my friends and family and all that. And you know who I didn't send it to? Pixar. But they got me something for Christmas or my birthday this year, whatever you want to choose, since it's all in the same month. And it's not even something I asked for. They gave me an announcement that my inner child has been waiting for a long time. A Buzz Lightyear movie. This is the Vince Salerno Podcast, episode 50. Episode, we are going to be breaking down all of the Disney Investor Day announcements, from Lightyear to Marvel news, Star Wars news, live action, animation. If it was announced on Investor Day, we're going to break it down right here on the 50th episode of the Vince Salerno Podcast, starting right now. Salerno Podcast, episode 50. We are recording this on a Saturday, December 12th, 2020. I'm your host, Vince Salerno, just a filmmaker talking films. And we're live on Instagram. I decided to do a live Instagram stream of this 50th episode, kind of a special thing to spice things up, since this is the 50th episode I've done of the Vince Salerno Podcast. It's kind of funny because I've been doing this for 5 years, and I've only released 50 episodes. Being a filmmaker, and also being interested in the film news, it's, a lot to juggle. So I know I haven't been the most consistent podcaster, but I do my best. This cord is just so tangled, and it's distracting. Anyways, it's been fun. I love podcasting. I think it's a fantastic outlet to engage in conversation and start conversation, and I am not going to stop. So, expect many more episodes after this 50th episode. And episode 49, which I recorded a couple weeks ago with Tyler Banark, is available. It breaks down the Spider-Man 3 rumors that it's basically a Spider-Verse movie. I'm not going to get into my opinion. I've already said it before, but I'm just going to say again, I don't think it's a Spider-Verse movie. Honestly, I think people are blowing this out of proportion. I may be wrong. We may get an announcement that this is a Spider-Verse movie, which, if it is, I don't really want that, but I'll get over it, okay? I'm not one of those fans that's like, well, I'm just going to boycott it, because I'd love to see Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire in a Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland, but I just think it's too soon. So, I don't know. We'll see. All right, well, today, if you saw the title of this episode, we are going to be breaking down the entire Disney's Investor Day 2020. For those of you who don't know what this is or why there were so many Disney-related announcements Thursday night, Friday morning, that's because Disney was having a live pre-recorded investors meeting to showcase all the success they've had with specifically Disney Plus, because that's their only moneymaker right now. And the additions they're going to be making to Disney Plus, by additions, I mean how they're going to make the service itself more efficient, how they're going to reach more audiences internationally, and their plans for that. They also, obviously, reason why we're here, they broke down a bunch of movie and TV news, stuff that's going to be released on FX, Hulu, Disney Plus from the live action front, Disney Plus from the animation front, Pixar front, Marvel, Star Wars, and then also theatrical releases as well. which will tie in a little bit to this whole HBO Max situation going on. I think that's really interesting. It's a really bad pickle to be in if you're Warner Brothers, but a great situation if you're Disney. It's just you can't make this stuff up, how this has gone down. It's absolutely insane. So let's get right into it. So they started off by introducing Bob Chapek, who, if you didn't know, is the Disney CEO. Bob Iger stepped down a while back to focus on Disney Plus and I believe Star Wars as well, focusing on that content. But Bob Chapek is the man in the chair, and it seems like he is going to be making some pretty good and strong decisions when it comes to Disney Plus, or Disney Plus, Disney as a whole. So they specifically highlighted, again, their direct-to-consumer services, Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. And they also announced, I'm not going to get too much into this, but they also announced a brand new international general entertainment content brand called Star. And when they first announced this, I thought this was going to be their Disney Plus 18 branch, so it would be connected to Disney Plus, but it'd be for like the adult content. I was completely wrong. I don't know when that's happening, if that's even happening. That's just a rumor I've heard from different sources that they're going to do a Disney Plus 18 for like Deadpool and Logan and Alien and all those adult franchises. So who knows what's going to happen with that. But Star is, let me just scroll down to this. I'm reading from the D23 article that breaks all of this stuff down. So building on the successful launch of Disney Plus, Hotstar in India and Indonesia, Disney shared new details for international general entertainment content brand Star, which will be included as part of Disney Plus in select international markets and launch as a separate streaming service in Latin America as Star Plus. The Star brand will serve as home to thousands of hours of television and movies from Disney's creative studios, including Disney Television Studios, FX, 20th Century Studios, 20th Television, and more, enhanced by the addition of local programming from the regions where available. So basically, this is just a way for them to extend their international reach for those who can't get Disney Plus in other parts of the world. At least that's what it looks like. I think it's going to be included with Disney Plus for certain regions. Anyways, I'm not too interested in that, but it is fascinating. This is all very fascinating. But I'm here to talk about the movies and the television. That's, excuse me, that's why we're here. So let's see. They start off with Disney Television Studios for Disney Plus, which basically means there's stuff that they're putting from Disney Television, live-action television stuff on Disney Plus. So, two beloved Disney properties have inspired high-profile entertainment series in development. That's a weird sentence. So, they have the Beauty and the Beast prequel series, which will star Luke Evans as and Josh Gad as Gaston and LeFou. We'll have new music by Disney legend Alan Menken. Honestly, I don't care about this. I was not a huge fan of the live-action Beauty and the Beast. It was a fun trip down memory lane, but it really didn't add anything new to the story. Anything it did add was just weird and completely unnecessary, so I can take or leave this one. I really don't care. This I didn't see, so I might have missed this, because I watched the whole stream, and I kind of dipped in between certain things, so I may have missed this, but Ron Moore and John M. Chu will reimagine the classic Swiss Family Robinson. Okay, so this is under the television column, so I'm assuming this means this is going to be a Swiss Family Robinson television show. So any fans of that movie or franchise, I guess, since it's based on a book too, can get excited about that. I remember the original Disney film vaguely. Well, it was fun. I'm looking forward to seeing a new take on that. Additionally, the studio is developing Percy Jackson and the Olympians, based on the best-selling book series by Rick Rodian and from Disney Publishing Worldwide. This is cool. I'm not a huge fan of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I didn't grow up on it, but I know a lot of people have. I enjoyed the first movie. Second movie, whatever. So this is fun. This is cool. I'm sure fans are going to be excited for that. Disney Television Studios is currently in production on 4 live-action series set to debut in 2021. So this is the Mighty Ducks live-action. The Mighty Ducks sequel series, Game Changers, picks up where the films leave off. Emilio Estevez returns as Gordon Bombay, and Lauren Graham joins the flock. So this might be a little controversial because this show is basically like the Mighty Ducks have become the must be on team. I don't know what I'm trying to say. The team that you want to be on when you're a hockey player for this league, and they basically kind of almost seems like they're villainizing the Mighty Ducks, because then these underdogs under Lauren Graham and Emilio Estevez's character, they create a new Mighty Ducks team. So I don't know what's going on here. I'm not huge into the Mighty Ducks franchise, so I don't really care, honestly. But it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know if fans will be upset by that or excited that they're doing a new team. We'll see. They're remaking Turner and Hooch into a buddy comedy series starring Josh Peck and his partner, a sweet slobbering mastiff. I like Turner and Hooch with Tom Hanks. I don't see why you need to remake it. I'm not a big fan of most remakes today. Sometimes you can get it right, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and see what happens. But honestly, this doesn't really excite me. Big Shot, a celebration of girl power set in the world of high school basketball, starring John Stamos, Yvette Nicole Brown, and Jessalyn Gilsing. I don't know how to say that name. I saw the trailer for this during the live stream. This looks pretty fun. John Stamos is a professional basketball coach, and now he decides to coach, or he's being like demoted to coaching a private girls' school basketball team. Could be fun. I like John Stamos. He's a good guy. And then The Mysterious Benedict Society, based on the international best-selling book series with Tony Hale and Kristen Schaal. Now, I was confused whether this was a movie or a TV series. And actually, Turner and Hooch might be a TV series as well. Turner and Hooch might be a movie, not a TV series. I said that earlier. So, I don't know what's what. We know that Mighty Ducks is going to be a series. Big Shot is going to be a series. I don't know about Turner and Hooch or Benedict Society. So we'll see about that. We'll go through National Geographic really quick. National Geographic announced Limitless with Chris Hemsworth and Welcome to Earth, working title apparently, featuring Will Smith. Limitless is about Chris Hemsworth trying to figure out how to live a longer, happier life, almost trying to get eternal life or whatever. I don't know. Trying to stay young. It's a little weird because, like, dude, we all get old. We all die. It's the way of life. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to live happy, healthy life, working out, eating healthy, all that jazz. But this just seems like a bit of a extreme. Like, I want to live forever. Come on. The Welcome to Earth one looks a little more interesting. It's Will Smith going through different areas of Earth. The title is obviously a nod to the Welcome to Earth from, I believe, Independence Day, I think. They announced a series called Genius, which will profile Martin Luther King Jr. They announced a new documentary film titled Cousteau, which will debut in theaters before coming to Disney Plus. Three other documentary series, Secrets of the Whales, A Real Bug's Life, that's a funny title, I like that, and America the Beautiful. I like that. America the Beautiful. Cool. Let's see. So content for Hulu and Star. The Kardashians, the Kardashian Jenners, that's weird, will create a new global content that will stream, will create new global content that will stream exclusively on Hulu in the U.S. and internationally on Star, with an expected debut in 2021. Okay, that's all they say. So they basically have teamed up with Disney and Hulu, I guess. So cool. So they announced several new Hulu shows, which are going to be kind of interesting. Only Murderers in the Building, which reunites Steve Martin and Martin Short. And Selena Gomez will also be in that show. That we don't know much about that. They just announced the cast and that it was with the three of them. That's enough to get me signed on. I love Steve Martin and Martin Short. They're some of the funniest people on the planet. I will watch pretty much anything they are in. The Dropout tells the story of a con artist that captured the world, Elizabeth Holmes. Sorry, I don't know who that is. Being played by Kate McKinnon. And that's supposed to be a drama, so that'll be interesting. Kate McKinnon doing a drama. And then Dope Stick, which has been announced and making the trades because it has Michael Keaton, Peter Skarsgård, and Rosario Dawson. A drama series inspired by the true events. By true events, I guess. Okay, cool. That's all they say. FX announced... oops, almost dead. FX announced The Old Man, American Horror Stories, Platform, Reservation Dogs, and Why the Last Man will be available on Hulu in the U.S. and Star in multiple international markets in 2021. So if you're interested in any of those shows, that's what's coming to Hulu. Handmaid's Tale, renewed for fifth season. I really don't care. Nine Perfect Strangers, starring Nicole Kidman. Great. All right, moving on to FX. So, FX has dedicated to the success of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They have ordered four additional seasons of the series, smashing the record for longest-running live-action sitcom in television history. Well, they should probably shoot the seasons first before they make that announcement because, you know, you can claim that you've broken the record, but if you don't have the actual show shot, you can't really claim that. So, we'll see. I don't really care about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't watch the show. So, regardless, this was probably the first big exciting announcement. FX will be behind the first ever Alien TV series. It is being developed by Noah Hawley with Ridley Scott as an executive producer. It's said to take place on Earth in the not-too-distant future, which is a little confusing. Are they going to bring back Sigourney Weaver? Are they going to bring back other classic characters? I'm still hoping that they do the Neil Blomkamp idea. I thought that was so cool. And Ridley Scott got jealous and decided to shipwreck everything. So what are you going to do? But anyways. Let's see. There's a two-season order for The Stones, a drama series about the world's greatest and most enduring rock band, The Rolling Stones. That could be fun. FX also brought on one of its most sweeping, sophisticated, and adult series with the retelling of James Clavell's beloved epic saga, Shogun, set within feudal Japan. I'm not familiar with that. I feel like I should be. okay, now we're moving on to Walt Disney Studios content. This is the big stuff. The big stuff. Okay, so Lucasfilm. So Lucasfilm announced a bunch of stuff. Like, it's insane how much stuff they announced. I'm just going to read through this. So among the projects for Disney Plus are Obi-Wan Kenobi, starring Ewan McGregor. Ewan McGregor and the return of Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader. Finally, my boy Anakin Skywalker is going to get a chance to come back and kind of redeem himself from the prequels, because I don't blame him for the prequels. I don't think it was necessarily his fault. The performance wasn't that great, but episode 3 was a pretty good performance. I mean, we'll get into that later. Two new series set in the Mandalorian era from Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. Star Wars, Rangers of the New Republic, and Ahsoka. A series featuring the fan-favorite character Ahsoka Tano, starring Rosario Dawson. And, I mean, if you've seen my review, you know I'm a huge fan of Ahsoka, played by Rosario Dawson. I thought she was perfect. That was definitely kind of a backdoor pilot for her, so I'm so glad they announced this. In addition to that, new titles announced include, for Disney Plus, include Star Wars Andor, focusing on Cassian Andor. We all knew about that, which is not really, I don't know, not too interesting, but it could blow me away. We'll see. The animated Star Wars The Bad Batch, Star Wars Visions, which will be a anime-style Star Wars short film collection, Lando, which is really concerning because we've been campaigning for Solo, Han Solo, to come back, not Lando, unless that's not Billy Dee Williams, not Billy Dee, Donald Glover. I don't know. We'll get into that in a second. And Star Wars The Acolyte and A Droid Story. Lucasfilm is also revisiting Willow with a new series starring Warwick Davis in the title role. And for the next Star Wars feature film coming out December 2023 will be Star Wars Rogue Squadron, directed by Patty Jenkins of the Wonder Woman franchise. That is, I'm excited for this. I'm not necessarily a fan or a someone who's followed the Rogue Squadron lore, but for fans of Rogue Squadron, I'm sure they're excited, and just as a Star Wars fan, I'm really excited for that. The pitch sounds really awesome. Also announced, the next installment of the Indiana Jones franchise, directed by James Mangold, and is said to feature Harrison Ford returning, and it will be the final installment of the Indiana Jones franchise. So I don't know if this is going to be a one and done, if they're going to try to spin off a new character from this movie, or if they're going to do like a prequel series following Indiana Jones in between like Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover with Indiana Jones, so you could do a prequel movie franchise after this, but we'll see. They also confirmed that a Star Wars feature film will be directed and written by Taika Waititi, which is a really intriguing idea. They show this really cool like purple and light blue logo that kind of makes me think this is going to be a really goofy Star Wars film, and I'm all here for it. They also announced Children of Blood and Bone, which I've never heard of, but Lucasfilm is trying to expand their filmography beyond Star Wars, so that's good, that's interesting. I have no idea what it's about, and honestly, I'm not really that interested. I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but it's apparently from a New York Times best-selling novel. This person was on, like, the most interesting people of all time in 2018 or 19. I don't know, and I'm sorry, just not interested. Okay, so we have from Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures Productions, we have Hocus Pocus 2 has been confirmed. Adam Shankman will direct it, and I'm assuming the original Three Witches will return. We don't know if they're going to get the original kids back. We'll see. They announced reboots to Three Men and a Baby with Zac Efron, She Brought the Dozen with Kenya Barris and Gabrielle Union, and Sister Act 3, which is not a reboot, it's a sequel, I believe. And Whoopi Goldberg is on board to act and produce alongside Tyler Perry, so that should be fun. If you're a fan of Sister Act, I've never seen those movies, but if they're well-regarded and Disney sees potential in that franchise, then why not do another one? So, yeah, I want to touch on Three Men and a Baby because I literally just talked about this with Tyler on episode 49, how much I love Three Men and a Baby. I love those movies. The cast is brilliant. I have been wanting them to make a sequel, not a reboot, called Three Men and a Little Grandbaby. Or Three Men and a Grandbaby. I think that'd be fun to visit these guys' grandparents and those characters. I'll take a reboot. I love the franchise, so I will take a reboot. And Zac Efron, you know, he's kind of today's equivalent of, you know, those three guys like Zac Efron. Zac Efron is the equivalent of guys like Tom Selleck and Ted Danson and Steve Guttenberg, who were the original leads for Three Men and a Baby, the original film. But who knows? Maybe this is a sequel. Maybe this is like a reboot sequel and the original cast is involved, but it's like a new generation taking care of a baby. So that was probably the most interesting one for me. They announced several direct-to-Disney Plus movies and shows. They announced Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, which will be a live-action CGI hybrid. It'll be kind of like in the vein of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it'll be animated characters or animated, you know, characters that are existing, kind of like Tom and Jerry, just not as flat looking. Cause my issue with that is those characters look super flat and not interactive with their environments. I wish they would have just made that a straight animated movie, but this should be promising. So I'm looking forward to Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. They revealed the first look at Pinocchio, directed by Robert Zemeckis and starring Tom Hanks as Geppetto. It looks like they're going to stay true to the design of Pinocchio, with using really state-of-the-art CGI technology. So that should be fun. George Dahl says Chip and Dale. Yep, they're making a live-action Chip and Dale. I forgot to mention, starring John Mulaney and Andy Samberg as Chip and Dale. Will they be shirtless? Maybe. It can't be as bad as the Chipmunks movies, so we'll see. They also confirmed that Peter Pan and Wendy is in development with Jude Law as Captain Hook and Yara Shahidi as Tinkerbell. Don't know who that is, but good for her. They confirmed that an Enchanted sequel is in development called Disenchanted with Amy Adams returning as the character Giselle. They announced several shows about live action shows about NBA people, and I don't know who they are. I don't care. Sorry. They announced a brand new Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie that will be animated. I love those books. I read them all when I was a kid, and I'm happy that they're reviving that. I think it should have been animated from the get-go. I think it was a really bad idea to do a live-action Wimpy Kid. So I saw a clip of the animation during the investors meeting. So it's really cool. I love that. I like the idea. They announced a Ice Age spin-off series called The Ice Age Adventures of Wild Buck featuring Simon Pegg, which, I mean, I don't really care because Ice Age's Manny, Sid, and Diego. So, cool. I'll take it. Whatever. They've kind of run the Ice Age franchise into a grave and buried that grave 10 times over. So, not very many high hopes for this. They announced that a Night at the Museum movie will be in development, an animated Night at the Museum movie, and it's said to be a sequel to the original films, with Sean Levy, the original director, producing. They also announced that Jungle Cruise will be coming out next year. We all knew that. Cruella, a prequel to 101 Dalmatians, will be going direct to Disney Plus. A prequel to The Lion King by Barry Jenkins, which I wasn't a fan of The Lion King at all, so if they can figure out a way to make anything around that more interesting, go for it. And they also confirmed what we all knew, that Little Mermaid is shot. I believe it has been shot, and it's coming out next year. So, for better, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the cast of that film, so for better or for worse, we'll see how good that is. Okay, moving on to Walt Disney Animation Studios. they announced that Raya and the Last Dragon will be debuting simultaneously on Disney Plus Premier Access, which means you have to pay for it, and in theaters on March 2021. So you'll have to pay a little more, $29.99, to see it on stream, but you also have the option to see it in theaters. And I like this a lot because it doesn't cut out theaters, but also doesn't cut out, you know, them making money through streaming. So we'll break all of that down in a little bit because I do want to talk about the Warner Brothers debacle as well. So yeah, interesting stuff. Okay, so for their new films and new content, they also announced an upcoming feature film, an original feature film called Encanto, which will include new songs by Emmy, Grammy, and Tony Award-winning Lin-Manuel Miranda, slated for theaters November 2021. Encanto takes you to Colombia, where a magical family lives in a magical home. Directed by Byron Howard and Jared Bush, co-directed and co-written by Charisse Castro-Smith, with music written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a character in this. We'll see. They also announced that coming directly to Disney Plus will be a Baymax series, a Zootopia series called Zootopia Plus, which will be little short bite-sized short films about certain characters in Zootopia. It's not a Zootopia sequel series, which is a shame because I'd love to see a actual Zootopia sequel. I really like Zootopia. A Tiana series based on, or as a sequel, I guess, to The Princess and the Frog. I hope that's 2D because that would be really awesome. I think Tiana's a, you know, cool character. She was one of the last 2D Disney princesses, which would be really cool to see her story continue and see what they do. And the series I'm most excited for, a Moana series. I love Moana. I know people who helped work on Moana. It's a fantastic movie, one of Disney's best, I think, and I love that they are continuing it. I wanted them to do a sequel film, but I will take a sequel series. And an interesting kind of a first for Disney, they're teaming up with an independent Pan-African comic book entertainment company called Kugali to create a interesting Disney Plus series called Iwaju, which kind of looks like Wakanda without Black Panther. So that'll be interesting. I'm really intrigued by that, and that's going to be coming out in the next 2 years, I think. They didn't really announce a date, but it's in development. So interesting, very interesting. No, George, you did not miss the Star Wars. Well, you did miss the Star Wars talk. You did not miss the Marvel talk, but I will come back and talk about Star Wars after I kind of run through everything. So hold your horses. Okay. Now, moving on to my favorite part of this whole thing. Well, yeah, top number one favorite part of this whole thing, Pixar. Pixar announced a bunch of new content, which I am really excited to talk about. Again, we're just going to breeze through this stuff, and then we'll talk about it at length. So they announced an upcoming slate of original series on Disney Plus and feature films, which will the feature films will be in theaters besides Soul. So Win or Lose is the first ever long form animated original Pixar series, debuting on Disney Plus in February 2023, and it follows a middle school softball team in the week leading up to their championship game, and each episode is told from the perspective of a different character. Love this. It sounds so Pixar-y. I mean, it has that whimsical realism quality to it, concept art had that feel to it. They also announced two brand new feature films slated to be in theaters in 2022. Academy Award winning director Domi Shi turning red, and she directed the Bao short film that was attached to Incredibles 2, which was fantastic. In Turning Red, fans will meet Mei. I don't know if I'm saying that right. She experiences the awkwardness of being a teenager with an added twist. When she gets too excited, she transforms into a giant red panda. Kind of like, they say it's like the Incredible Hulk, but, you know, cute and cuddlier. Turning Red will be released in theaters on March 11th, 2022. You know what? I'll save the... You know what I'm building up to, so I'm going to save that one for last. Next summer, 2021, will be the year Pixar releases their next film after Soul, Luca. Luca is a celebration of friendship between a boy named Luca and his best friend Alberto during an unforgettable summer. You won't want to miss Luca to have it in theaters. Okay, blah, blah, blah. I think this is about, it takes place in Italy, which I'm Italian, so you already got me sold. But I think the twist is the best friend Alberto is a sea monster, and they go underwater and explore like the undersea world or whatever. We'll probably get a trailer soon because, you know, Pixar always releases trailers with their films. So maybe we'll get a trailer for Soul. We'll get a trailer for Luca, not attached to Soul per se, but a trailer for the film shortly after release of Soul. Last but not least, the cherry on top of this whole event. Pixar announced that they will be releasing in 2022, summer 2022, a science fiction adventure film unlike anything they've done before. A Buzz Lightyear movie. That's right. Pixar is releasing a Buzz Lightyear movie. Not the toy Buzz, not the Tim Allen Buzz. The Buzz, the actual person Buzz Lightyear, the toy, is based on. So we will be getting the movie that the toy is based on. I mean, technically we already got that with the animated series back in 1999 or 2000, I think is when it came out. But that wasn't really a Pixar show, and Pixar wasn't really directly involved. This is going to be Pixar telling the story. It's going to be directed by Pixar and Toy Story veteran Angus McLean, who directed Toy Story of Terror. He directed Small Fry. He also directed Bernie, the WALL-E short film. So pretty experienced veteran Pixar director, and this will be his feature film debut. This is amazing. And to top it all off, Chris Evans, Captain America, will be playing Buzz. Man. And they gave us a little hint of the story. So Buzz will be, they said it is the definitive origin story of how Buzz, starting out as a test pilot, becomes the hero we all know him to be today. We'll get into that more about my excitement and stuff, but let's get through the rest of this stuff. So additionally, there were details announced for new episodes of Inside Pixar, Pixar Popcorn, which will be a new short form series featuring short films with Pixar characters. So they announced short films for Buzz, Ducky and Bunny, Joe from Soul, Dory, Jack-Jack, Mr. Incredible. I think that was it. I might be forgetting some others, but yeah, we're going to see some of these characters continue on in little short films and kind of keep those franchises going and franchises alive, which is fun. They announced, Pixar announced two series, Doug Days and a Cars series. So Doug Days will be a spin-off sequel to Up and follows Doug living with Carl and adjusting to suburban life. I didn't really pay attention to it, but it looks like they're in the same house that they were in at the Ellie and Carl's house. I may be wrong on that. We'll probably get confirmation. Maybe they rebuild the house. I don't know. That'll be a fun little surprise. And it's nice to see, like, I don't know if they'll ever make an Up sequel, but this is nice because they did get the original voice actors for Carl and Doug. So that'll be exciting. They also announced a full-blown Cars series. So it's going to follow Lightning McQueen and Mater going on a road trip and visiting new characters, old characters. It should be fun. Also, they announced that Soul's coming out in a new short film for their Spark shorts called Burrow. Yeah, all exciting stuff from Pixar. We'll dive into that later, but let's just get through it, what everything is. Marvel Studios. George, I hope you're here. George, where are you? George Dahl. Let me get him. I want to make sure he's on here because I want him to, he wants to be involved in this. So at least tuning in. I don't know if I'm going to do a chat on Instagram Live. Maybe we'll do that after I record the episode. Cause again, we're recording live on Instagram and on my mic. So, George, get your butt over here because we're talking about Marvel. Okay. Marvel Cinematic Universe is expanding in huge ways. So first they announced three new Disney Plus series in addition to the ones they've already announced. Secret Invasion, which will star Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn as Nick Fury and Talos. That will follow the Secret Invasion comic book storyline. So right now they only have those two actors locked, but it's assumed that they will probably build up to a multi-character. This might be like the Avengers film that we'll be getting instead of an actual Avengers. I don't know. Instead of like actually getting an Avengers movie in like 2025 or 2026 with a big crossover thing, like their big crossover event that they're going to build towards might be Secret Invasion, or Secret Invasion might tie into a next Avengers film, which kind of continues the events of Secret Invasion. I don't know, but Secret Invasion, I haven't read the comic book, but I know it's about Skrulls infiltrating Earth and disguising themselves as Marvel superheroes, and you're trying to find out where the other superheroes are, the actual superheroes. So I don't know what that's going to look like, but I hope there's a lot of crossover stuff happening. It better be, because if it's just Samuel Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn fighting Skrulls, it might not be that exciting. They also announced Ironheart, a Iron Man spinoff series that will follow Riri Williams, who becomes the new Iron Man, Ironheart, and that will star Dominic Thorne, which I'm excited for that. I've been thinking that they have to get a new Iron Man successor, and it's not going to be Don Cheadle. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited that they're getting a new character to take on the Iron Man mantle. So that should be fun. Speaking of Don Cheadle, they announced a kind of a War Machine series called Armor Wars, starring Don Cheadle, that will dive into Tony Stark's worst fears. What if his his suits fell into the wrong hands? So it's assumed that War Machine will be going up against somebody who takes Iron Man technology and uses it the exact opposite way Tony Stark would. So that should be fun. Armor Wars. I'm looking forward to that. So two Iron Man spinoff shows. That's fun. So again, they also showed a new trailer for WandaVision, which was really cool. They showed the first trailer for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Really awesome. They announced, they showed the first trailer for Loki. Looks awesome. They showed the first trailer for What If, a sizzle reel, and a kind of a first look at Miss Marvel, and some confirmation about Hawkeye. So Jeremy Renner is back, and Hailee Steinfeld will be joining the series as Kate Bishop, which, big fan of Hailee Steinfeld as an actress, so I think that's awesome. They also confirmed that Tatiana Maslany will be playing She-Hulk in the She-Hulk series. Mark Ruffalo will be back as the Hulk, and Tim Roth will be coming back as Abomination, which is long overdue. I'm so glad they're finally doing that. They also confirmed that Moon Knight is in development, which they didn't confirm Oscar Isaac is being cast. Maybe they're still in talks with him. They announced a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, exclusive to Disney Plus, directed by James Gunn, in addition to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So that is the biggest surprise, one of the biggest surprises of this whole thing. I cannot believe that. That sounds so fun. They also announced a I Am Groot series featuring Baby Groot, which kind of be like a short mini-series, like a little short episodes of Baby Groot doing stuff. So that should be fun. They also announced that Ant-Man 3 will be officially titled Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which is kind of, seems like they're getting into some really ridiculous stuff. They're really digging into the craziness that kind of, feels like a Guardians of the Galaxy title as well. But hey, whatever. The third feature in the Ant-Man franchise, which will feature the return of Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas. What am I thinking? I totally blanked on his name. Michael Douglas. And Michelle Pfeiffer, who will be returning as Hope Van Dyne. Or not Hope. Janet Van Dyne. I think. Yeah. It's Janet. Yeah. So that's exciting. That's really exciting. Oh, they also confirmed that they recasted Ant-Man's daughter with an actress. I don't remember who, but they recasted her for some reason. And they confirmed that the actor casted for Kang the Conqueror will be making his debut in the MCU. So Kang the Conqueror might be our new Thanos. We'll see. They also touched on Black Widow, which will be going straight to theaters, not Disney Plus, thank God. Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings, which wrapped filming a couple weeks ago. Eternals, which I don't care. Sorry, I don't care about Eternals. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which looks awesome. They announced that America Chavez, apparently that's a new character in the MCU, she's going to be making her feature film debut in Doctor Strange 2, as well as the return of Rachel McAdams, which they said she wasn't going to come back, but they found a way. They're bringing her back. I love it. I love it. Thor Love and Thunder, which will see the return of Lady Sif, which was confirmed this morning, actually, which is awesome. And they also confirmed that Kristen Bale will be playing Gore the God Butcher. I don't care who that is. Kristen Bale is playing a villain in an MCU movie, and that's all you need. They confirmed that Black Panther 2 is still a go, but they will not recast T'Challa, which I think is a bit of a mistake, if I'm being honest. I'll touch on that a little bit. All due respect to Chadwick Boseman, God rest his soul. Anyways, they said they're still working on Blade 2, nothing major there, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. They confirmed that Captain Marvel 2 is in the works with Nina DaCosta as the director. Brie Larson's coming back. The girl that they got to play, the little girl from the first Captain Marvel, is an adult in WandaVision, and she's going to be, that version of the character is going to be in Captain Marvel 2, and they're going to get the actress that's going to be playing Miss Marvel to be in Captain Marvel 2. So cool. Awesome stuff right there. So many fun things. ESPN, I don't care. Nobody cares about ESPN here, so we're just going to skip the ESPN stuff. That's it. That's all the announcements. So let's go back up to the top and let's kind of pick and choose what I wanted. I'm going to pick and choose things I want to kind of delve into a little bit more. So I already kind of touched on Mighty Ducks, Three Men and a Baby. I don't care about discussing National Geographic or Hulu. The alien thing is really interesting, though. I really like that. Again, I don't know if they're going to touch... I don't know if they're going to bring back Sigourney Weaver. I don't know if it's going to be a sequel series. I mean, my hope is you'd get Sigourney Weaver to come back if this takes place after her second, third, fourth... I don't know. They got some cleaning up to do. I know I'd love to see Sigourney Weaver back as Ellen Ripley. She is the face of that franchise. You know, in this world of female-led franchises, why wouldn't you get one of the greatest female leads of all time, Ellen Ripley, to kick some alien butt? Just saying. Okay, George is still not here, but I'm going to discuss anyway. So for George, hopefully you tune in soon. So they announced Obi-Wan Kenobi is actually happening. I mean, they announced a long time ago that it's happening, but they've been very coy about it, and they were very, very specific that it's a limited series, not going to be a multi-season thing. It's just a limited series with Ewan McGregor, Hayden Christensen coming back as Darth Vader. So that leads me to believe we'll probably see him out of the suit. They'll probably show some flashbacks between Anakin and Obi-Wan, possibly. You know, Christian Harloff from the Schmodown, he's been saying this, and I thought he was right. I think he was right to predict this. Like, what other story could you follow other than, like, because Obi-Wan finds out at some point that Anakin is Darth Vader. And I want to see that story. But I also want to see him struggling on Tatooine. I don't want to see a series where he's just, you know, a day in the life of Obi-Wan on Tatooine. That just seems kind of boring. But I like this. I like what they're doing. I'm so excited for what's going to come. Bring on Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's probably my most anticipated series out of all of these they've announced. For the Mandalorian shows, they announced Star Wars Rangers of the New Republic. They didn't say exactly who's going to be in that or what's going to be about, but again, it's the New Republic, Mando time after episode 6. I'm assuming this is going to be the Cara Dune-led series. I don't know if this is going to be a limited series or if it's going to be a full series with multiple seasons, but my assumption is that this will be a series with Cara Dune as the lead, and we'll kind of get into more New Republic stuff. You could see, I don't know, maybe Han Solo, Leia, Luke show up in the series. I mean, everyone's saying that Luke is probably going to show up at the end of The Mandalorian or in season 3 of The Mandalorian. Please, please, please let that happen. I don't care if you recast the character. We're all kind of past, like, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Han Solo. I am willing to let these characters be recasted to fill in the blanks of the stories that happen between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, especially because the sequels weren't that great. What a great way to redeem, get a second chance to revisit these characters and see, you know, just how they've developed over that 30-year period. So I'm excited for Rangers of the New Republic. If it's an Ahsoka, if it's a Cara Dune, Gina Carano-led series, I'll be really excited. And Gina Carano has really, I mentioned this in my last Mando review, I really think she's improved a lot as an actress. And I think it's because these directors know how to play to her strengths as an actress. They're not trying to make her just do some crappy action film where she's, you know, badass but also like over sexualized. She's a legit character and she is awesome in this. So I just cannot give enough praise to Gina Carano in The Mandalorian and in general. I mean, she's just awesome. The Ahsoka series is interesting because we've all been talking about with Ahsoka, are they going to do a series where, or something where they explain where Ezra Bridger is and Grand Admiral Thrawn from the end of Rebels? Now, I am currently watching Star Wars Rebels. I haven't even finished it, but I know what happens at the end. Because when you're a Star Wars fan, you kind of just find out. If you can't, I mean, with the series, like, I didn't have Disney XD or Disney Plus wasn't a thing at the time, so I didn't have any way to watch these. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the Ahsoka series. I hope it delves into where Ezra and where Thrawn are and brings those characters into a live-action setting. And, you know, maybe they can do some Heir to the Empire type of story, maybe bring in a younger Luke, Han, and Leia, and also I'm looking over at my shelf because I have the original sequel trilogy books, Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command. If the Timothy Zahn Thrawn trilogy, basically, is what it's referred to. Who knows? Maybe they'll adapt those into that 30-year time period between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. A lot of movie names. but I'm excited. Ahsoka's going to be fun. I said I'm a huge fan of Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. She nailed it. I still love Ashley Eckstein. I wish she was playing the role, but there is probably reason why she wasn't, why she didn't come back. But they've both of the actors have kind of come out and given each other support. So it's amicable between the two of them, which is awesome to hear. The Willow, I've only seen Willow once and I really like it, but I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm glad they're making a series. It gives me incentive to watch the film and get excited for that show. Okay, Rogue Squadron, Star Wars Rogue Squadron. I am so excited for this because I don't think we need another trilogy of movies yet. I think a one-off Rogue Squadron X-Wing movie sounds awesome. Now, I don't know if it was confirmed or not, but this might be either in the time of the original trilogy, or it takes place after The Rise of Skywalker, which would be interesting. But the logo, let me see if I can find the logo. It's not here for some reason. The logo, inside the logo, you see a classic original trilogy X-Wing. So my assumption is this is actually going to be a original trilogy era movie. But Patty Jenkins is directing it. She did this great like little sizzle video talking about her dad as a fighter pilot. And then she says, you know, I've wanted to make the greatest fighter pilot movie of all time, and I couldn't find the right story, and then I did. And then you just see her put on a fighter pilot helmet and walk towards an X-Wing. And that's all you need to know. So she's obviously going to pay homage to her father in this. I don't know what classic characters are going to be in this, or if they're going to be new characters, or what's what. But 2023 December, Patty Jenkins is making a Star Wars film. She did a wonderful job with Wonder Woman. See what I did there? I'm moderately excited for Wonder Woman 2. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that movie. Sorry, my chair is so squeaky today, as it always is. But I'm excited. I'm excited for this. I think Patty Jenkins is a phenomenal filmmaker. Really great. And I'm excited for this. Okay, again, I don't care about Children of Blood and Bone. I just don't. I'm excited for Taika Waititi. As I said, it looks like it's going to be a really cool retro 70s bonkers Star Wars film, so I can't wait for that. Indiana Jones 5, I want to touch on that really quickly. So I'm so glad James Mangold, who's one of my favorite filmmakers of all time, he is going to be directing the final Indiana Jones installment. He's gotten Steven Spielberg's blessing, I believe. They really hammered down this will be the final installment, and they released a new logo too, so this is happening. This is finally happening. I was nervous when there were rumors that talks with James Mangold were breaking down, that he might not do it, but this announcement, I mean, you can't get more solid than this. They're making the movie. I mean, anything can happen between now and the release of 2022, but man, I'm excited. I'm really excited. I love Indiana Jones. I even love the Crystal Skull. I know George Dahl, who, if he's watching, is going to tease me like crazy because I like the Crystal Skull. But I think it's okay. I honestly think it's fine. But these films are just as important to me and just as important to my childhood as Toy Story or Star Wars or anything, any other property that I've grown up with. I really do love the Indiana Jones films. I think they're some of the best blockbuster films ever made. And I would love to see them do a really great final adventure. Because, I mean, if you can redeem what things that didn't work about the Crystal Skull and do a last film that really does justice to the character and the franchise, that'll be really awesome. So, yeah, that's all we got for Star Wars talk. Looking forward to most of it. I am a little concerned that with all of this, that, I mean, all these shows, they might be... Oh, and I don't know what the Acolyte is. I mean, I think that's a dark side Jedi thing. Not a fan of Leslie Headland, so I don't really care. I think that with all these shows, they risk oversaturating Star Wars because, to me, Star Wars works best in moderation, and this is a lot. I know they have to keep the brand going, but honestly, I would have been fine with just one new show being released and, you know, announcing one new movie. Albeit these are going to be spread out between different years, but still, just announcing this all at once is a lot, and I don't like it when Star Wars is big, bombastic, in your face, we are Star Wars, and we're releasing 20 shows and 50 movies over the course of 2 years. I don't need that. I love Star Wars in moderation. It keeps it special. It keeps it intimate. Star Wars is not the MCU. I don't need a interconnected multi-installment franchise with Star Wars. I don't need multiple installments from different shows or movies released in the same year or anything like that. So I hope they're not building towards that, because that'd be really concerning. That's all I'm going to say on Star Wars. Moving on, Hocus Pocus 2. I touched on Three Men and a Baby. We all know how I feel about that. Cheer Brother Dozen. Cool, they're doing a reboot. Great. I love the Steve Martin version, but whatever. Don't care about anything else that's being mentioned right now. Oh, okay. Let's talk about Raya and the Last Dragon and that whole situation, because this kind of ties into... someone joined. Jason Packer. Hello, Jason. Thank you for joining. Sorry, man. I'm actually recording a podcast. I'm recording audio that will be on my podcast on Anchor Podcast in a little bit, so I can't have anybody join. But if you want to talk after I record, I'd be happy to have you on, and we can discuss things live. So if you want to do that, stay tuned. But I can't accept anybody right now. So sorry. Hope you understand. Okay. So Raya and the Last Dragon. So Disney is going. So Warner Brothers obviously announced their awful, awful decision to Brazilian actor. Good for you, man. Keep chasing that dream. What was I saying? After Warner Brothers' atrocious decision to release all of their content, their 2021 film slate in theaters and direct to HBO Max, just to promote HBO Max, not giving a crap about the filmmakers or the theaters or anything like that. We know what that situation is. Disney made the ingenious decision to do the same thing, but different. They will be charging for Raya and the Last Dragon, $29.99, Disney Plus Premier Access, to be specific. But it will also be in theaters. So you have the option to choose how you pay to see Raya and the Last Dragon, which I'm fine with. I'm honestly okay with that. I used to be a big stickler about, no. Same-day streaming is a bad idea, but this kind of works. You have to pay a little extra to go stream it, but you can also go to the theaters. And I think this Disney is really going to help the theaters survive if they stick with this. And this is only for Raya and the Last Dragon. They have not announced this for any other film except for Raya and the Last Dragon, which I think is fantastic. So this is a great move and a great way to position Disney as heroes and Warner Brothers as stingy, greedy villains. Not that I have anything against Warner Bros., but that decision to basically screw movie theaters and the filmmakers involved in these films was a terrible idea. Really terrible idea. So, also, they released new images and showed us a first look at some of the ensemble characters in Raya and the Last Dragon, as well as the dragon being played by... Awkwafina. I don't know why I blanked on that name, but Awkwafina. So fantastic. Let's see, as far as the... Okay, so the only like series that they announced, the animated series that I'm excited for, is Moana, because I'm a big fan of Moana. I know people that worked on Moana. I just love the story, love the setting. I love the Polynesian culture. It's just so fascinating and so interesting, and the music and the traditions they have. It's all very, very awesome. Very awesome. What am I trying to say? It's very cool. I'm really fascinated by it. So I would love to see them explore Moana, and hopefully Maui comes back. I'd love to see I hope this isn't just a Moana show. I want to see Maui return. I want to see the whole cast come back, and then them facing other mystical creatures and monsters and demigods. It should be fun. Hopefully there's, you know, more music in the vein of You're Welcome, because You're Welcome's like one of my favorite songs of all time. So that's all I really have to say on this show. I don't really care about Zootopia Plus. Tiana's interesting. I love Princess and the Frog. I think that's a great movie. I also know people that worked on Princess and the Frog. So I don't know if those, if my people I know that work on those shows are going to be involved, but whatever. I'm excited for both Tiana and Moana. Tiana, Moana. Cool. Okay, so Pixar also announced their feature film. Let's talk about those. Turning Red. So that's going to be kind of a coming-of-age teenage girl trying to adjust to life. It has a very inside-out type feel to it. It's this, again, whimsical, magical realism world where this girl turns into a giant red panda when she gets excited. So I'm really excited for this. This looks fun. I don't really know what the story is or what her conflict is going to be, but we don't really need to know that right now. All I know is that it looks like a fun movie. It's not high on my anticipation list, but I'm never let down by Pixar's original films. Never. I mean, I've not seen a Pixar film that I have been disappointed or really like disliked strongly. I mean, I'm not a fan of Incredibles 2, but it was okay. It was okay. Okay, let's see. Oh, wait. No, they're talking about Win or Lose. I was going to talk about Lightyear. Let's talk about Win or Lose. So Win or Lose is an interesting thing. Again, it's the softball team leading up to the championship game, and each episode covers the perspective of a different character. So they can explore a lot of cool stuff with that. A lot of character development, a lot of interesting, fun things. So I'm excited for that show. I'll definitely be tuning into that. It'll be Pixar's first animated series. Long-form animated series, I should say. They technically did Forky Asked the Question. No Forky Asked the Question season renewal. I thought that was interesting. I was kind of hoping they would do another season of Forky Asks a Question, but I guess the demand wasn't there, unfortunately, which is a shame because it's Toy Story. What are you thinking? Also, we didn't get any confirmation or update on Monsters at Work, the animated Monsters, Inc. sequel series, which is going to have John Goodman and Billy Crystal coming back. Nothing on that. I don't know what's going on with that. That was announced like a year ago. And I mean, I know animated shows take a while to make, of course, but there's nothing about this. Like, what's going on? I hope it's not canceled because I love Monsters, Inc. I want to see a sequel to that movie in any way, shape, or form, whether it's a series or a movie. So, come on, Pixar, what's going on? I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I might try to do some digging to figure out what we can find out about the status of Monsters at Work. Okay, so they talked about Turning Red. Lightyear. Okay. Yes, this is huge. This is my favorite announcement. I am so excited for this Buzz Lightyear movie. Even more excited that they have Chris Evans voicing Buzz. I think that's a genius casting. I think that's so fun. And if you see the image from the film, it looks like a great amalgamation of Buzz and Chris Evans. So you can't get any perfect than that. obviously, for big Pixar fans like myself, this raises questions like, what are they going to adapt? What are they going to bring into this Buzz Lightyear canon? Because obviously there is the animated show that Pixar is not a big fan of, apparently. So it's hard to know if they're going to bring in characters like Mira Nova from the animated show, Booster, XR. I forget the peg-legged captain that of Star Command, or any other. Buzz is a lib now. yeah, he went from a conservative to a liberal. Oh, man. Well, hopefully none of that crap is inserted into this movie. Hopefully they keep it pretty neutral. I'm assuming they will. I'm assuming, obviously, they have to have Zurg in there, but I'm curious if Zurg is going to be a human, if they're going to do like a, you know, because Buzz doesn't know that Zurg is his father. So are they going to do like a Empire Strikes Back type thing with, oh, you're my father, what? Or is it going to be a, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But they could, you know, make Zurg his father in this movie. Or they could make Zurg just a villain that, you know, has different connection to Buzz. But, okay, George is lighting up the chat. Dumping conservative Tim Allen, what the hell? But seriously, doesn't that piss you off? No, it doesn't piss me off. I mean, I love Tim Allen as Buzz, of course. I'm a huge Tim Allen fan, and I would have loved to see him reprise his character. But I mean, this is a different version of Buzz. This is not the toy Buzz. This is the real Buzz Lightyear that the toy is based on. So, you know, in my mind, Tim Allen's Buzz and this Buzz are two different people. I mean, like I said, it's toy Buzz, and toy Buzz is not like real Buzz. I mean, he was in Toy Story 1 when he was delusional and thought he was the real Buzz Lightyear. So maybe we'll get hints of that character. But no, it doesn't piss me off. I don't think it's a jab to Tim Allen, and they could still have Tim Allen involved as like a cameo, or him playing some other, like a mentor figure to Buzz in this movie. I'm not upset about it. I think it's fine. I like Chris Evans as Captain America, and I know he's a liberal. If he keeps the politics out of it, which he did with Captain America for the most part, and if they don't make it political, I don't see why they would. We'll be fine. Okay, Luca. I'm excited for Luca. We already talked about that. It's going to be a fun Italian Riviera type movie with sea monsters and stuff. Should be cool. Pixar. Let's talk about Marvel. The Ms. Marvel sizzle really released was cool, but I'm checking this series out only because of, you know, keeping up with the MCU. Not super excited about this. It'll be fun to see another MCU character, but I don't know. We'll see if the show's any good. I'm sure it will be, hopefully. Blue-pilled Buzz. Yeah. Secret Invasion, again, I said that that's going to be like the... That could be Marvel wanting to do a... Instead of a big Avengers crossover film, they're going to do a big Disney Plus Avengers crossover series, and that'll be Secret Invasion. Or Secret Invasion will, like, you know, set up the larger stakes of Secret War, and then they'll tie that into, like, the next big event. Because they've got to make another Avengers film. I mean, I'm sure they'll announce Avengers 5 in the next year or two. That'll be coming out in, like, 2026 or whatever. Ironheart, again, it's the Iron Man spinoff, a new Iron Man taking the place of Tony Stark. I'd much rather Iron Man's daughter, Morgan Stark, but maybe she'll still be involved somehow. I don't know. Armor Wars sounds interesting. Again, James Rhodes, it's basically a War Machine series, and he's fighting off Iron Man armor that's being taken over by somebody that wants to live out Tony Stark's worst fears. So the Loki clip, they showed us footage for the Loki series, which looks absolutely insane. I mean, it looks like they'll be doing some universe bending stuff, and this might tie into Doctor Strange 2 with the multiverse stuff, because this is an alternate version of Loki, because Loki died in the real time, the normal Avengers timeline. And this is the alternate reality that the Avengers created while getting the Space Stone? Yeah, the Space Stone. So this Loki is going to be in some sort of prison, and he's going to be trying to escape and creating havoc across the multiverse. And so that might tie into Doctor Strange, with him having to stop, maybe run into Loki and try to stop him. That'd be pretty cool. Owen Wilson is in this show. I did not know that. And there's literally nothing else to pick out of this except that he's obviously going to different parts of the universe. We see a reality where New York is destroyed and the Avengers Tower is all busted up. We possibly see a glimpse of Black Widow before she sacrifices herself. So maybe Black Widow's coming back from the dead. That'd be exciting, because I don't think they should have killed Black Widow. Whatever. George says, what's with the big push to do multiverse stuff? To maximize cameos? Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, George. I mean, this is my... If you check out George, my most recent podcast episode 49, because I talk about Spider-Man and all these nonsensical Spider-Verse, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield rumors, because I think this is too much too fast. We just got over this gargantuan $3 billion movie, Avengers Endgame. I kind of want to focus on smaller stories. I don't want to do a giant multiverse, world-bending, universe-bending, overarching story yet. So I'm kind of in the same ballpark as you, George, if that's what you're saying. This might be too much too fast for Marvel. Let's see. The WandaVision trailer looks interesting. That's obviously going to tie into Doctor Strange as well, and the multiverse stuff. It looks like Wanda is kind of experiencing some, like, you know, post-traumatic stress or whatever from losing Vision from Infinity War. And so she's creating a reality where she can live with Vision and he's alive still. Maybe Vision is alive. I mean, I kind of hope, because I wish that he didn't die. I feel like there's so much more to explore with Vision. But Wanda might be the kind of an anti-hero of this, because the government's trying to access her and help her and infiltrate this reality she's created. She's in this kind of bubble in this field or whatever where she's created this world. So maybe she's kind of the anti-hero of this story, which would be really, really interesting. And this might be a multi-season show. I don't know if this is going to be a one-off or, you know, there'll be a WandaVision season two. We'll see. $20. Hugh Jackman. Wolverine comes into the MCU. They back money trucks up to his house after next musical flick flops. Yeah, I'd much rather them just recast Wolverine. I mean, I loved the ending of Logan and how they ended his character. Yeah, I'd rather not that happen. As much as I love Hugh Jackman, I want to see him back in the character. I don't know what they could do with him. I mean, maybe a cameo, but like, just to have him come back for a split second? This just seems a waste, but whatever. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Again, it's going to be an Ant-Man Quantum Realm movie. Kang the Conqueror is going to be in it. Quantumania hints that the movie's going to be Funimania. Quantumania. It's going to be so much fun. Oh my gosh. Ooh, Quantumania. That's going to be fun. Not much else to say about that. I'm excited for Kang the Conqueror. Maybe he might be your new Thanos. We'll see. Timothée Chalamet as a more sensitive Wolverine who uses claws for good. Oh, I would hate that. That would be so... Blech. Timothée Chalamet, where are you getting that? So, let's see. What other big announcements did they make? They gave us updates on Black Widow, which is going to theaters, not streaming, thank God. Shang-Chi wrapped production. Eternals, I don't care. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is going to be huge. Sam Raimi's directing, and he did. Kevin Feige did say it does tie into Spider-Man. And, you know, Doctor Strange is going to be in Spider-Man. But they didn't say anything about Spider-Man 3. I really thought there was going to be a confirmation about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, but nothing. They didn't say anything. Maybe because the deals are still pending about whether Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield will be in the film. If it's going to happen at all, I still don't think the Spider-Man, Spider-Verse thing is going to happen. I am not convinced. So, yeah, I'm not going to... If you want to know my opinion on the whole Spider-Verse thing, go check out episode 49 of the Vince Salerno podcast I just released today, where I break all this down. I don't like the idea yet. I just don't think it's a good option. Kang showing up, probably like Peyton Reed. Yeah, Peyton Reed's cool. Yeah, okay, sorry. Let's talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Captain America, my favorite superhero. This is kind of the closest we're going to get to Captain America 4. Falcon and the Winter Soldier looks so cool. It looks like a movie. Looks like it was shot like a movie. And they said it's a action political thriller in the vein of Winter Soldier, stretched into 8 episodes or 8 hours. Sign me up. Falcon looks awesome. Winter Soldier looks awesome. I can't wait to see his Captain America suit. There's just so much dope stuff. It was really funny. I love seeing the the love-hate relationship between Bucky and Sam Wilson. So, yeah. Oh my gosh. I think I'm probably the most excited about Falcon and the Winter Soldier than I am about any of these shows or movies they've announced. I mean, movie-wise, I'm really excited for Doctor Strange. Show-wise, sign me up for that Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There are photos of... Oh, are there? I haven't seen any photos of Tobey Maguire on set. Is he in costume? Is he with Tom Holland? Yeah, I'd be interested to see those. I haven't seen anything regarding photos. Let's see. Love and Thunder, Thor Love and Thunder. I'm really excited for that. I'm curious to see how they're going to bring back Jane Foster as the new as a Lady Thor, I guess. And Christian Bale. Again, I don't care who Christian Bale is playing. I just am excited he's in a Marvel movie playing a villain. So he's playing Gore, the God Butcher, which seems like a pretty dope character. So I'm excited for that. Black Panther. Okay, so I was going to talk about Black Panther 2. So here's why I think it's a bad idea to not recast the character. Chadwick Boseman did a great job as Black Panther. No one is not saying that. But he was only Black Panther for like 4 movies. And I feel like there's so much to explore with Black Panther. So just recasting the character, I feel like there's a lot of wasted potential with where that character could go, where you, if you recast him. I mean, they've recasted characters before, but then again, they haven't, you know, been dead, I guess. So that makes it a little more sensitive. I understand that. I just think that I'd rather see them recast the character and have him live on than just pass the mantle on to Shuri or somebody else. And because I love Shuri. I think Shuri's a great character, I love Letitia Wright, but I'm not interested in the mantle being passed. He just got it. He just became Black Panther, the King of Wakanda. And you just want to just throw all that out? All due respect to Chadwick Boseman. Again, I want to see Shuri eventually take up the mantle, but I don't know. I think, again, there's just a lot of wasted potential with recasting Black Panther. Let's see. When Cap died in the comics, Brubaker took the book in a really cool direction, focusing on side characters, Falcon, Winter Soldier, etc. It was really good. Hoping they take that energy into the show. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see that. And I'm sure that's probably what they're going to do. Only 4 movies, what a chump. Those are rookie numbers. Exactly. I mean, again, all due respect to Chadwick Boseman. I think I'd rather see like someone like John David Washington be Black Panther. That'd be awesome. Him just getting off of a Tenet. Great actor. I'd love to see that. Captain Marvel 2, they just announced that it's going to be more female director. Monica Rambeau, Miss Marvel's going to be in it. Brie Larson's going to be back as Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel was okay. It was fine. It wasn't great. Hopefully they make Captain Marvel a little more interesting and just not a jerk, because she wasn't nice. I didn't like her. So maybe they'll get me to like her. Okay, so let's see. What else did they... Oh, the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which will be which will be shot during Volume 3. Awesome. I love that idea. I think that's going to be... I think it's going to be fun. I mean, they'll obviously make nods to... I'd let her boss me around. Boy. I don't know what they're going to do with the holiday special, Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's going to be fun. James Gunn is behind it. No problem. Volume 3. We don't know anything about Volume 3. But I'm sure it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. It will probably be the final chapter of that trilogy and maybe the last time we see James Gunn in the MCU. We'll see. Last but not least, Marvel finally announced that they are working on Fantastic Four. which is great. They're going to be, they will hang ornaments on Groot. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Hanging ornaments on Groot. I think I called that when I first heard that. Like, yep, Groot's tree, Christmas tree, Groot the Christmas tree. Fantastic Four. Fantastic. And interestingly, they're getting John Watts, who directed Spider-Man Homecoming, Far From Home, and he's directing the current Spider-Man 3. He's going to direct this Fantastic Four movie, which is really interesting. Because, like, what's he going to bring? What is the Spider-Man director going to bring to Fantastic Four? I know Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four have a lot of connections in the comics, so that'll be fun. Is he going to have Spider-Man cameo in the movie? Is he going to have connections to Spider-Man villains? Who knows? I hope this is not like Far From Home or anything like that, because I want this to be like epic, weird science, sci-fi with a little bit of comedy. I don't want this to be, because I like John Watts, the director, but I think he went a little off the chain with the comedy and the ridiculousness of Far From Home. Fantastic Four announcement, but no X-Men news. Do you think that seems weird? No, I think they're still figuring out X-Men. I think they have plans for X-Men, but you know, one thing at a time. X-Men just also, you know, they had a film come out last year, so I think they have to wait a little longer to distance themselves from the, you know, the previous era of X-Men films. Fantastic, like the last Fantastic Four film that came out was 2015, and we all know how that went. So it's been 5 years. I think with this announcement, I don't know when we'll get the movie, but like by the time we get Fantastic Four, it'll be long past whatever previous iteration of Fantastic Four was out there. I think once we get a little more distance from X-Men, we might get more news on what's happening. And honestly, I think a Disney Plus X-Men series would be better than a X-Men movie franchise or movie series. Maybe do spin-off films, like with the new Wolverine they're probably going to get. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. But they ended the presentation with Fantastic Four. Again, shocked they didn't announce anything regarding Spider-Man 3. Again, they're maybe probably waiting for deals to be solidified. That being said, I don't think that the Spider-Verse thing is going to happen. George agrees with me, X-Men series for sure. So yeah, that's it. That was everything that was announced from D23, what am I saying? The Disney Investors Day 2020. As I've said, the Buzz Lightyear feature film announcement is the most exciting thing for me. It's a Toy Story spinoff. It's not Toy Story 5, but it's the next best thing. And it kind of at least tells me that, you know, Pixar is dedicated to the continuation of the Toy Story franchise, whether that's not specifically with Toy Story. I think there's still going to be a Toy Story 5. I am fairly confident that that will be announced one day. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen are still alive, still kicking. I feel like they should make a fifth and definitive final Toy Story film with Tom Hanks and Tim Allen to really end it before, you know, they get too old. I feel like they have maybe another 10, 15 years left in them before they get to the point where it's like, oh, this is just sad seeing them back. And Toy Story 4, I mean, I know Woody left, but to me, Toy Story 4 wasn't a definitive final chapter for the franchise. It didn't feel like that for me. It felt like an emotional goodbye, but it felt like a furthering and a developing of the world. And I think they're going to use the building up of Woody and Buzz being separated as a entry point for Toy Story 5. Like, you know, these best friends are no longer together. What's it going to take to get them back together? And what final adventure would Buzz and Woody go on to really close out this story and end it on a high note, which a lot of people have told me. Have Buzz and Woody get passed on to Andy's kids. That'd be fun. I'd love that. I don't know how you do it, but I saw this really weird fan pitch where it was Toy Story 5 and Woody and Buzz, Woody just like decides, hey, let's go back to Andy. And they gather every single Toy Story character to ever exist. And they all go back to Andy. Like, he goes to Bonnie's house and they all like, oh, Bonnie's all grown up. Let's ditch Bonnie. And all the toys, Woody's gang and Buzz's gang, they all meet up and they go on a journey to find Andy. They meet all the Sunnyside toys and they go with them. Lotso, or not Lotso, Barbie Ken and all the Lotso henchmen. They find the Prospector. They find Sid's toys. They get all the toys, all the characters from every single Pixar film, and they all go to live with Andy. It was, I didn't want to be a jerk and say, like, that's a stupid pitch, but that's... Are you serious? That's not a story. That's a guilty pleasure. All the toys come back to Andy. If Toy Story 4 was just that, that'd be a terrible movie. I'm sorry, but that'd be a terrible film. Anyways, I'm excited for Lightyear. I'm excited for the possibility of Toy Story 5 if it ever comes out. Toy Story 4 wasn't necessary. Part 3 was the perfect ending. I disagree. I think Toy Story 4 was a new... a beginning of a new chapter in the franchise. The first three films are its own story. It's the story of Woody and Andy. Toy Story 4 was the beginning of a new era for Toy Story, for those characters, and the franchise. So, yeah, sorry. Gonna hardcore disagree with you, George. Okay, well, that's all I got for you guys. Disney Plus is kind of the future for Disney right now. They are going to be including theaters in their plans. And they have a lot of great stuff coming out with Marvel, with Star Wars. Again, I think Star Wars is at risk of being oversaturated by all these shows and all these... Well, I guess there's only two movies coming out, but they're all these shows. It's going to be a crazy spew of stuff. So I'm going to be sticking around a little bit on Instagram Live. If you want to directly chat with me, you can click the invite and we can chat about movies a little longer on Instagram. I'm going to be closing out my podcast here, turning off my recorder. And you should see this episode on Anchor and other podcast platforms very soon. So thank you all for watching or listening to this episode of the Vince Lerner Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, hit that like button or the heart button or whatever kind of button that allows you to like this audio episode. Video and audio are confusing. They're not, but they are. Anyways, like this episode and subscribe to this podcast channel, my YouTube channel. YouTube, you can get my short films, trailer reactions, and excerpts from the Vince Lerner Podcast, also reviews. I released a review on episodes 11, 12, and 13. Oh, 10, 11, 12, and 13 of The Mandalorian, so check that out. Episode 49 of the Vince Lerner Podcast is available right now. Check it out. This episode is available, obviously, now because you're listening to it. Hope you guys have a great day. This might be the last episode due to the year, so if I don't come back to another final episode, I mean, I might try to do a top 10 of 2020. If I don't, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hope you guys had a great year despite the circumstances, and I hope 2020 is bright, happy, and fantastic for you. So I'll see you guys later. Have a great day. God bless, and peace out.